If I ruled the world, this would be our theme song. San Francisco's Joe Satriani. But wait, what about Hendrix? Or Eddie Van Halen? They are all masters of what the National Association of Music Merchants says is hands down the most popular instrument, the guitar. And today's superstars stand on the shoulders of early blues players, Robert Johnson, Elizabeth Cotton. Then there were the early Mexican and Hawaiian players. You get this history of the guitar, the guitarchaeology, as the author calls it, in the first chapter of the new book, Talking Guitar. And then it's off to some of the conversations that Jazz Obrecht had with players. He's the award-winning former editor of Guitar Player magazine. He joins us from Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, what a gift to people who play this thing, because I'm telling you, if you really know the difference between a Stratocaster and a Gibson and all, you know, all the different kinds of open tuning, this goes deep for guitars. But it also goes broad to this idea of guitar players. What's the one thing you would say that unites these players you spoke with? Neil Young, Johnny Winter, Jerry Garcia.
They all have a profound ability to express their emotions through the way they play the instrument, and each of them has a unique voice on the instrument. Most of these people are not imitators. They're people who pioneer new ways of playing, new ways of looking at music.
They're originators.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, there's greats like Charlie Christian, the 23-year-old from Oklahoma City, Alvino Ray, both revolutionized the electric guitar. But talk for a second about Nick Lucas, who waxed the first hot guitar solos. He had songs like Picking the Guitar, Teasing the Frets. And then that was him playing behind Tiny Tim when Tiny Tim married Miss Vicky on The Tonight Show, singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Tell us more about Nick Lucas. What was his role?
The whole Guitar Hero phenomena starts with Nick Lucas in 1922. Before Nick Lucas recorded his two breakthrough songs in 1922, very, very few people ever recorded guitar music because it was so difficult to get it onto record. Think about the old Victrola horn you see in the ads with the dog looking at the big horn. That's literally how people recorded their music in those days. And they were recording onto wax masters, and if you played an instrument too loudly, the needle would jump, and they'd have to start over again. And so Nick, who loved to play guitar, one day came in and talked to a producer, Sam Lannon, and said, "Hey, Sam, I'd love to play my guitar." And Sam said, "Well, Nick, we're not going to hear it." And Nick said, "Well, put me right under the horn." And so Nick got under the recording horn and recorded Picking the Guitar and Teasing the Frets, and they became the first popular guitar recordings ever.
Well, to put together this book, you had to pick from, you know, the hundreds of interviews that you've done, and many of the artists people may know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Neil Young, but there are some they may not know, and we just want to mention Carole Kaye. If you saw that great documentary recently on the Wrecking Crew, you know she was one of those studio musicians who was so in demand. But let's just listen to a montage of her guitar and bass work on some hugely popular songs.
The beat goes on. Beat goes on.
Well, East Coast girls are hip. I really dig those styles they wear.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road.
Yeah, river,
if there's ever a Bible dedicated to the women in rock and roll, chapter 1, verse 1 should read, "In the beginning there was Carole Kaye." She was originally a bebop guitar player, and then in 1958 she crosses over into rock and roll when Elvis Presley and Chuck Berry and people like that are at the top of the charts. But unlike the musicians who found fame and fortune as headliners, Carole wanted to work her magic behind the scenes, and so she became a studio guitar player. Very, very rare in those days for a woman to be accepted into the studios, but Carole was tough and a brilliant, beautiful player, and she made it, and she got into the Wrecking Crew and played on hundreds of hit records during the late 50s and through the 60s into the 70s.
One of the things that's so great about this book is that some of your interviews are when these artists first popped. And you write about being in the guitar player offices when you got a copy of Van Halen's first record, and you were listening to Eddie Van Halen playing on Eruption, I think, and people were saying, is that a guitar? What were your first, you know, early impressions of Eddie Van Halen?
I thought he was the most exciting guitarist since Jimi Hendrix.
Huh.
We played Eruption. We were trying to figure out if it was played on keyboard or guitar because his finger tapping technique was so revolutionary at that time. People just hadn't applied it very often in mainstream rock and roll. And he had this fire-breathing sound unlike anybody else. And the way he got it was he created his own guitar.
Tom Petty's in here, Johnny Winter. But talk about a name that might not be on everyone's list. Eric Johnson, Austin, Texas.
Oh, what a sweet human being and a sublime player. I don't know anyone who's ever worked so hard on perfecting his craft as Eric Johnson.
And he also, like all the artists that you speak with, had such respect for other artists. Talk about his song, East West.
East West is an homage to Wes Montgomery, the sublime jazz guitar player. A lot of people compare him to Jimi Hendrix in that he was had such a big influence on them the way Hendrix did as well.
Let's be clear. Compare, as Eric Johnson did, compare Wes Montgomery to Jimi Hendrix.
In that he was unique. He had his own distinctive voice. You know, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, other people fall into that category. You can hear two notes from Wes and you know exactly who it is. Mm. He played such beautiful, beautiful music.
Now, so we hear there some Eric Johnson playing his tribute to Wes Montgomery and then some Wes Montgomery. Here's part of your conversation again. You know, here's you in an interview. I once asked Eddie Van Halen how he became so good at such a young age. He said he came home from school, sat on the edge of his bed, and played guitar until he went to sleep. It seems that for all the guitarists you profile, that is it. Eat, sleep, you know, drink, love guitars.
It really comes down to discipline. You know, you may want to be a star, but if you don't have the discipline, it's never going to happen.
Again, we want to hit on some of the names that may not be household. James Gurley.
James Gurley is the father of psychedelic guitar music. In the 90s, I talked to all the great San Francisco psychedelic guitar players like Jorma Kaukonen from the Jefferson Airplane and Barry the Fish Melton from Country Joe and the Fish and others. And every single one of those people pointed to James Gurley as the place where it all begins.
Big Brother and the Holding Company?
Yeah, Gurley was from Detroit, and he was a folk and blues guitar player, never played electric guitar. In fact, when he auditioned for Big Brother and the Holding Company, that was the first time he ever played an electric guitar, first time he ever played rock and roll. Mm. And, of course, once they got together with Janis Joplin, they took off like a rocket ship.
Yeah.
And so Gurley had this unfettered approach, and the best place you can hear it is in the song Peace of My Heart.
Well, you know you got it, Janis.
You mentioned Rocket Ship. Speaking of which, I just want to end with the guitarist that we mentioned at the top. One of my favorites, Joe Satriani. You say you thought of titling a piece on him, Space Guitar, The Final Frontier, The Voyages of Joe Satriani.
Joe Satriani. He was a well-known teacher in the Bay Area, and he was really daring. He got an offer in the mail for a free credit card, and he took it and financed his own EP. I went to the studio to talk to him, and I was knocked out by how dedicated he was. He was really pushing the guitar in a new direction in the late 80s, early 1990s, and he's held true. He's still at the top of his game today.
Hey, one thing that Eric Johnson says to you struck us. He says that back in the day when everybody would be, you know, when the roadies would be setting up for a concert, he'd be up on stage playing a lick and a sound check, and people would say, whoa, what was that? They'd never heard it before. He says now he goes out, and everybody's heard everything before. All the licks have been played. I mean, people are less likely to be playing a guitar. They're more likely to be sampling it and playing a computer. Is it kind of over?
In a way, it is. But there's still people. Somewhere in America, there's that young person with his or her guitar who's going to pioneer something.
And Jazz Obrecht will write about it. His new book is Talking Guitar, Conversations with the Musicians Who Shaped 20th Century American Music. Jazz, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. A pleasure.
Joe Satriani's Flying in a Blue Dream. I just love it. So, rock guitar gods, we know we only scraped the surface. How about Duane Allman, Ry Cooder, Clarence Gatemouth Brown, Carlos Santana? Your nominees welcome, hereandnow.org.